Detroit, 1962, Wayne State University. Colorful maple trees mark the main campus buildings. The area is buzzing with activity. Big new cars made in Detroit drive down Woodward Avenue. The area is a cultural hub with a mixture of beautiful architecture. The Detroit Institute of Arts has one of the largest and most significant art collections in the United States. With over 100 galleries, it covers 658,000 square feet. Detroit is the fifth largest city and has not suffered urban decline yet. Eugene, 25, a typical 1960s nerd dressed in a tweed suit jacket with thick round glasses, is walking with an arm full of books and a briefcase heavy with papers as he strides across campus past Rodin's thinker sculpture in front of the imposing neoclassical edifice of the Detroit Institute of Arts. Barbara and Eugene's apartment, living room. Day at the top of three flights of stairs, he opens the door to a small student apartment where Barbara, 24, sits at the kitchen table, pounding away on a manual typewriter, surrounded by her own books and student papers, along with what seem to be university application forms. She's a natural beauty who was a runner-up in the Jewish sorority beauty pageant 4 years ago. On the floor, the Detroit News features a story that the United States is now involved in an undeclared war in South Vietnam with 4,000 Americans on the ground and an unknown number of casualties. Eugene, sweaty after the climb up the stairs, puts his briefcase and books down. Eugene, how's it going, Barbara?
Barbara.
You spent too much time on your grant applications. Eugene collapses on their old sofa. He opens the Black's Law textbook he is reading and begins underlining. Eugene. Those scholarship applications took more time than I expected. I couldn't have done it without you. Barbara. My fingers still hurt from all the typing, not to mention doing the books for your dad's barbershop. Eugene. Barbara, I don't know if I can keep up with pre-law and my other grad school classes. If I fail, I could be drafted into the military. His face fills with concern. The weight of their academic pursuits bears down on them, especially on Eugene, who fears the consequences of failing out of law school. Barbara, there's no draft yet, Eugene. Eugene looks at the newspaper front page. Eugene, brightening. Hey, today is our lucky day. It's right here in the paper. President Kennedy just signed a new student deferment order. Eugene, it exempts anyone with a child from military service. Maybe it's time we start thinking about expanding our family. Barbara, she rolls her eyes a bit. He puts a Motown record on the small record player. Eugene, can I get you anything? Are your cramps feeling better? Barbara, a bit, thank God. I haven't felt well all week. Eugene, rubbing her shoulders. Another migraine. Barbara, touches fingers to her temple and nods her head, yes. As Eugene gazes into her eyes, he produces a shiny silver dollar coin from his pocket. He holds it up, using it as a prop in a hypnosis act. Eugene, I like Mesmer. Your pain is all in your mind. All in your mind, Barbara, staring for a moment, then blinking. The great Eugenie. Your tricks might have hypnotized me at first into going out with you, but it's not much for these headaches. Eugene kisses her tenderly. I know it's all been a lot for you, Babs. I promise I'm going to give you the quiet life we've dreamed about. Barbara, giving in. Well, I suppose we better get busy then. Making a baby to keep you out of Vietnam, huh? Eugene doesn't need another hint. Barbara laughs, their youthful energy and affection for each other filling the room. They laugh, they embrace, they fall on the sofa and make out. Barbara. In any event, Eugene, if you do get drafted, you'll probably end up running the army. Dissolve 2,